Welcome to No Compromise Radio, a ministry coming to you from Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. No Compromise Radio is a program dedicated to the ongoing proclamation of Jesus Christ, based on the theme in Galatians 2, verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." In short, if you like smooth, watered-down words to make you simply feel good, this show isn't for you. By purpose, we are first biblical, but we can also be controversial. Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we're called by the divine trumpet to summon the troops for the honor and glory of her King. Here's our host, Pastor Mike Abendroth.
Welcome to No Compromise Radio Ministry. I had to do a double take here for a second because sun was in my eye. That's exactly right. The sun was in my eye. Now, today on No Compromise Radio, we're going to use the Christian Post CP opinion, Christian Post opinion, November 12th, 2013, written by Chuck Lawless. I don't know if Chuck remembers me, but I had Chuck for a class at Southern Seminary, the Southern Seminary. Actually, I just signed a contract to teach at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, adjunct campus, Boston, January, the end of January through February, 4 weekends. Preaching class. How cool is that? I got the letter in the mail with all the W-4 stuff, W-2, rather, and said I had a sign for the contract, and then two signatures above mine was a blank space for Al Mohler's signature. Now, how cool is that? That is really cool. Anyway, I don't know what Chuck is doing today. Let's see what it says on the back. It currently serves as Professor of Evangelism and Missions and Dean of Graduate Studies at Southeastern Seminary. So, you have Al Mohler is the president of Southern Seminary, and Danny Aiken used to be, I don't know if he was a vice president or what he was, dean or something. And then Danny, I'm guessing 8 years ago, maybe more, 10 years ago, let's see, 7 years ago, he moves to Southeastern and is president there. So, Lawless leaves Southern and then goes to help out Aiken at Southeastern. I think that's how it works. Anyway, in the Christian Post, it says 10 reasons why we must love unlovable church members. So I thought this was an interesting thing because I know sometimes I'm unlovable. I know sometimes I don't want to love. I know what the Bible says about pastors and shepherds and Christians loving one another. I know that I have been loved in the most wonderful and amazing sense, that is full and free forgiveness. I've been justified by Christ's life, death, confirmed by his resurrection. I am the recipient of divine, sovereign, distinguishing grace, and I know I must love. And some people are easier to love than others, aren't they? Maybe you have some kids in your family, and some are easier to love than others. It says here, I was a young pastor and I was sure everybody in the church was kind, gracious, and Christian. Everybody would treat everybody else with the love of God. Needless to say, it didn't take me long to learn that even in the church are people who don't quite get there. Some people are really hard to love. And so we experience this. If you're a lay person, you get it sometimes in the church and maybe the pastoral staff, they don't love you like you want to be loved or like the Bible says that they should love you. Sometimes I'm on the receiving end of people who are not that nice. My favorite one lately is, I'm guessing 6 weeks ago, I preached from Ecclesiastes 3. I think probably I'm better at afflicting the comfortable than I am comforting the afflicted. But be that as it may, to use the lingo, I was preaching from Ecclesiastes 3, and I was trying to encourage the congregation. In Ecclesiastes 3, a series of comparisons, those 14 comparisons, and there's a season for everything. God's in control, and using poetry, Solomon talks about the sovereignty of God. And then he says, in light of that, enjoy life, work hard with an eye toward fearing God. In other words, God has given you the greatest gift, Christ Jesus, Romans 8:32. What about all the other stuff? He'll be glad to give those lesser things as well. And so I really thought it was positive. I thought it was encouraging. I thought it was uplifting. I thought it was wonderful truth. And I thought the delivery wasn't bad. I didn't think it was, you know, perfect delivery, but I didn't think it was bad. And I know some people who were very blessed by the message. I was blessed by studying it and preaching it. And I kid you not, I get to the door. I think I've already said this in No Compromise Radio, but I'm getting to be to the point now where I'm A, older, B, I've been speaking a lot lately. So between writing No Compromise Radio, Sunday morning, discipleship, Sunday night, Poland, Orlando, Czech Republic, Southern Seminary, IBS classes, discipleship, counseling. I think yesterday I had an 11 o'clock appointment. I had a 12 o'clock appointment. I ended up having a 1:30 appointment that wasn't scheduled. I had a 6:30 appointment. 7 o'clock was IBS class. And I had a 9 o'clock appointment and got home at 10:30. Now, that's not woe is me. I'm just trying to tell you that since I talk so much, I don't know what I've said to who, when, where, why, how, and how often. Sometimes I hear somebody say, I've already heard that story. Yeah, I know, but I forgot. So it was my job to speak. Actually, this is a ministry. No Compromise is a ministry. I want to say sometimes it's a hobby, but it's a ministry. Some days I just want to quit. Other days I don't. So today's a don't quit date. This is show 4, though. So see, I could have said what I said earlier. And so the lady met me at the door, and she said to me, Chuck Swindoll preaches that sermon, Ecclesiastes 3, better than you do, and kept on walking. Now, it kind of sounds like it's funny. It sounds like it's, you know, a jab. Maybe there's some inside stuff going on that if you knew, then you would see the relationship. But there was no joking. And I don't think this is just New England, although being in Florida for a while, I just thought, yeah, I think, you know, people are just as depraved as everywhere else, but there's just I don't know if it's warmer climate means warmer people. I don't know. Anyway, I just thought, wow. And of course, my flesh, as I've said before, wanted to say, Swindoll made it 2 years in Boston, New England, and this is 16 that I've made it. You know, maybe he had people say those kind of things to him. Bob Thiem preaches better than you do. I think that was one of Swindoll's mentors. We should do a show on Bob Thiem. Whatever happened to Bob Thiem? So anyway, some people are more lovable than others. And of course, I know it works both ways. Sometimes I'm probably lovable. Sometimes I'm not. I get it. At the same time, Lawless says, I almost said Lawson, Steve Lawson. Chuck Lawless said, I couldn't avoid Jesus telling us to love God and love neighbor, Matthew 22, verses 34 to 40. Nor could I run from New Testament commands that we love one another, 1 Thessalonians 4, 9, 1 Peter 1, 22, 1 John 3, 23. I would be lying to say I never struggle now, but I've learned something about loving others. Here are 10 reasons why we must love even unlovable church members. So my name is Mike Abendroth. This is NoCompromiseRadio.com, and we're going to go over the Christian Post 10 from Dr. Lawless. 1, God loves them. He said, I take these words literally, for God loved the world in this way. And by the way, I don't know if he's quoting from a translation or not, but we usually say God so loved the world. It was so much love. It was not regular love. It was so much love. And the way to translate that is, for God loves the world in this way. How does God love the world? In this way, he gives his son. And so kudos to Dr. Lawless for that. He loves the arrogant church member, the person caught in sin, and the follower who denies him. Well, does he love the one who denies him? I think we better skip over that point. He loves all of us with an amazing love to love others similarly. So here's what I would say. I wish Chuck here would have said there's a difference between the love of the Creator and the love of the Savior. I do think God loves people who deny him with common grace, with a love of a Creator. If a person is denying Jesus, then how can he be a Christian? If he's not a Christian, he's not loved by God with a Christian sacrificial love. It's getting hot in here, man. Met somebody down in Florida, and they said, well, we appreciate the ministry, but we don't like Tuesday shows. You guys laugh too much, joke too much. And I said, well, I guess it's up to you to be your own critic and judge. That's fine. I mean, but if you go to Sunday morning, Sunday school, Steve preaches, Sunday morning second service, discipleship, Sunday night, IBS, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, no compromise. And the list goes on. You mean you can't just have a little fun? There's a similarity between when I go out on a date with my wife and we just remember why we like each other and we just go out and have some fun. In a similar fashion, although without the romance, without the bromance, Steve and I, as we deal with all kinds of issues in church life, people who struggle with pornography, people that cut themselves, people on psychotropic drugs, people who have marriage problems, and the list goes on, as you might guess. We just like to sit down and remember why we like each other. And we've been friends. We were friends before we were co-pastors. And so it just is fun to sit and talk. And now we don't pay money to be on the radio. So before it was quit laughing so much and get to the Bible. Well, now you can just skip over Tuesdays if you'd like. Pastor Steve, I think, is coming to California soon, Northern California, for a NoCo Tuesday conference, Tuesday Guy conference. How cool is that? Number two, we show the power of the gospel by loving all people. Chuck Lawless, second reason we should love unlovable people. Jesus said our love for one another would be one way to show the world his love, John 13. And so we show that we love people by, we show people the power of the gospel by loving others. In other words, when the gospel of Christ Jesus, this good news about Jesus, the God-man, transforms us in sanctification. Of course, we are redeemed, we are acquitted, we are justified, but we're also regenerated. And when we have this new nature and then we grow and we now love the unlovable, before we wouldn't want to love the unlovable, that shows the power of the gospel. Three, we live in Christian obedience when we show love toward all. Christian love, Lawless says, while not being devoid of emotion, is an active love, a doing love, evidenced by how we act toward others. Our faith does not allow us to say, because I just don't love you anymore, we can no longer be in relationship. Be in a relationship is how I would say it, but in relationship. We do relationship. So it is true. We are not saved because of our obedience. We're saved because of Christ. Active and passive obedience. But when God does save us, we will show we are Christians by our love. By our love, well, we will obey God when he says love. We should love. And here it is a love of will, a love of determination, not an emotional love, not an erotic love, not an neurotic love or erotic love. It is a love that says we're going to do it because we're told to do it. And feelings will come and feelings may go and feelings are deceiving. Our warrant is the word of God. Not all else is worth believing, Luther. Number four, some unlovable church members need Jesus. Okay, so let's see what he means by that. Jesus had a fake in his followers, and we're not going to do better than he did. There are some in the church family who aren't truly Christian because they've never truly repented and believed. So, you can be a church member and you cannot be a believer, and you need to love those people. So that seems to make sense when you meet folks who are unlovable or you don't love them as much. Well, maybe one of the reasons could be is they're not regenerate, and so then they just act out of their nature and they do deeds of the flesh, and we shouldn't be surprised unbelievers act like unbelievers. And of course, the pastor and the elders are not omniscient, and so when they take in a church fellowship someone based on the profession of faith, that is, in fact, all it is. That's why when I baptize people, I baptize them based on your profession of faith. It's my privilege and pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So that's how we do it. And so do we baptize people who are not real converts? Yes. We try our best to make sure testimonies are good and lifestyle seems to match up, and it is a testimony of orthodoxy. But there's only so much we can do. Remember John 6, some of Jesus' disciples followed him no more. Remember James chapter 2, demons believe and tremble. So one of the reasons why we should love people is, you know, some of them aren't saved. We want every church member to be regenerate, but on this side of eternity, it's not going to happen. So reason number 5, we should love people who are unlovable church members. Some unlovable church members are undisciplined believers acting like undisciplined people. Well, maybe what I would say is this. Maturity is the norm. Is the goal for Christians. And it is the norm for Christians to grow in grace, correct? Kind of like the stock market, kind of like California real estate prices, up and down, but the general curve, the trend is, the trajectory is going up. And so there's nothing wrong with immaturity as long as you are a new Christian. As long as you're growing and learning, it's perfectly fine. We don't get on our children that they're not adults at age 12 because they're learning and growing. And so there are some undisciplined people who also need some help, and we should make sure we try to pour ourselves into these folks. Number 6, love motivates our praying for unlovable church members. And I think this is an excellent one. No program will fix the person who is power hungry or judgmental. We should pray for them. It may be that we are like them more than we care to admit. So how do you get along with somebody that you don't really like in the church? Now, there are some people here. Maybe don't like me. Maybe I don't like them. I never really think about it that way. No, I don't like you. Honestly, I have a lot of problems, but that's not one of them. I don't think that way. I don't like you. I might say you're hard to be around. You're difficult. You're immature, but I don't really say I don't like you. But the best thing to do with people who don't like me is I try to pray for them, that God would work in them and grow them and give them discernment, and give them joy, and give them fruit, and give them growth and grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. An excellent way, if there's somebody at your church, all right, let's just do it this way. Let's make it kind of no-go now. Who is the person at your local church that you least want to be stuck in a room with? The one that walks down the hall past you, and you're like, oh, out of all people. Or that you're, you know, in the kitchen together, or you're in the foyer together, or in the sanctuary, in the sanctified areas. And so just when you're around them, you do your best to ask them about how's their walk and those kind of things. And then you pray for them. Pray that God will change them and God will change you. Number 7, loving unlovable church members is an act of faith. It's an act of faith. And so I think the best way I'd phrase this, I just read Chuck's description, but I'll use my own words now, is if you see people with the eyes of faith, when you see your young son at 12, you look at him as a future man. In the future, he'll be a man. And so you look at him with these eyes of faith and his inquisitiveness and his brashness and his, you know, those kind of things. Well, how will God use those in the future for good? And so the similar fashion here, loving unlovable church members is an act of faith. One day all the people at the church who are truly Christians will be glorified. So why get all bent out of shape? I learned this lesson from MacArthur. Why get all bent out of shape with believers who aren't glorified yet, but they will be? So why worry about something that is a truth? It is a verity. It is a certainty. It is reliable that God will, in fact, glorify people. All Christians. So when you look at the chain of redemption, that order of salvation in Romans chapter 8, the final one, first of all, we skip over sanctification and we get to glorification. And they're not even dead yet, the people that Paul are writing to, but it is a certainty that God will complete his work. And if he starts a work of predestination and foreknowledge and calling and justification, he is going to glorify you. So why stress? Number 8, Chuck Lawless. Unlovable people are often loners, and loners need help winning spiritual battles. And he talks about an army or family or a body that we are and how we're not supposed to fight alone. So often, I would say, we read the New Testament as individuals, as loners, and you think about the shield of faith that we're to take up in Ephesians chapter 6, you know, we forget that you're supposed to lock these shields together with the person next to you in the army to ward off the incoming arrows. But see, we're just so used to just having that one shield and not thinking about body life and corporate life and solidarity and community in relationship. So we need to try to help them because maybe they're unlovable. Then, therefore, they're probably loners because they're unlovable to other people as well. And then there they are stuck by themselves. Number 9, only genuine love allows us to carry out church discipline when needed. Only genuine love allows us to carry out church discipline when needed. So let's say they're uber unloving to the point of unrepentant sin, and they move in with their girlfriend or they want to divorce their husband for unbiblical reasons, and now church discipline has to happen, or they're factious, and we have to love them and carry out church discipline. It's hard to do. It's difficult. But that's a reason why we must love unlovable church members, even up to and including church discipline, is actually an act of love. It seems like it's not love. Lots of people in New Testament churches, when there's Matthew 18, step 3 and 4, they have a conniption fit. But then if they just would read their Bibles, a child can read Matthew 18 and understand. You go to them. If you don't win them, then you take one or two with you to establish what has happened. Then you tell it to the church for prayer and for going to the person, and then you excommunicate them. So, and then number 10, what we're doing today on No Compromise Radio is 10 reasons why we must love unlovable church members, from the Christian Post, Chuck Lawless, November 3rd, 2013. Number 10, we are all sometimes unlovable. I will read what Chuck says. All of us sometimes act less than Christian. Maybe nobody sees it, and perhaps it doesn't happen often, but it's still unChristlike. We too will have those days when we need undeserved love. Perhaps others will model then the love. This doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. Perhaps others will model then the love we first shown them. I think it's thee. Perhaps others will model the love we first shown them. And so that's really what it comes down to is, yes, we are unlovable, maybe lots of times, maybe not just sometimes. And so if we want to show love to unlovable, then they'll be showing love to us. And so when you think about it, what are we known for as a church? Well, do you want to be known for love? We love God and we love others. I don't think that's tragic. It's only tragic if it's what you're known for, because we don't really do a great job of that. What do we do when we fail? Let's be known for the love of God that he demonstrates towards us, that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. So if we got to be known for love, let's be known for the God who loves, because that's better than our response, loving him and loving others. Because the response, we fail and we falter and we fall short and we get sidetracked and we transgress, we trespass, we sin, we miss the mark. And so what do we need to be known for? That's why it's very important for the Christian church to be known for the eternal love of God found in the person and work of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Because we are unlovable. The people are unlovable. Humanly speaking, at least, but divinely speaking, can you imagine God loved us? God knew every sin we ever committed in the past, in the present, and in the future, and he still had his son to die for us. That's amazing. The church should be known for that. The church shouldn't be known for loving other people, because we do it poorly. We do it inconsistently. We do it sinfully. We do it less than regularly. We do it in such a way that no wonder people say, oh, there's a lot of hypocrites in the church. That's why if our church is known for the gospel of Jesus Christ, then that can't be hypocritical. Jesus, the God-man, dying for sinners because he loves them, and the godly dies for the ungodly, the just for the unjust. This God-man, the grave cannot hold him. He's raised from the dead to show that this substitutionary atonement, in fact, worked. We have a new representative, the last Adam, Jesus Christ. If people look at that, oh, they might say something, but they can't find a flaw. They can find a flaw in our love for God and our love for one another and our love for them. But there can be no flaw found in Jesus Christ, the Supreme King, laying down his life for others. That is true love. My name is Mike Abendroth. This is No Compromise Radio. Write me at info@nocompromiseradio.com.
No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Abendroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible-teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life-transforming power of God's Word through verse-by-verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 and in the evening at 6. We're right on Route 110 in West Boylston. You can check us out online at bbccchurch.com. Or by phone at 508-835-3400. The thoughts and opinions expressed on No Compromise Radio do not necessarily reflect those of WVNE, its staff, or management.